Friends, if you're visiting us, we're busy working our way through Philippians, and maybe you want to open your Bibles this morning and follow with me. We're in chapter 2, and we're going from verse 19 to verse 30. Just for a moment, it's always good to see the context, and to see how wonderfully these verses build on what's already come before us. You may remember the first couple of verses of chapter 2 told us of all that our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. It reminded us of His existence there in eternity, how He was truly in every way God, and yet He emptied Himself. He emptied Himself of all that He had, and He came down to our world as a servant. What an amazing example Jesus was. And He lived here among us as a servant, and then He went to the cross as a substitute for our sin. And on that cross, He died for our sins. That's what we sang in our first hymn. He was our substitute, bearing all our sin on His body. And then He rose again, and He ascended back to the right hand of His Father. In verse 9, we then saw how God responded to this amazing work of Jesus by exalting Him and giving Him a name that is above every other name. And then last Sunday, from verse 12, we saw how we respond. See the word, therefore. And we respond to all that Jesus has done by working hard. That comes as a surprise. He tells us to work. Once you've been saved by the grace of God, brothers and sisters, you've got to work. And you've got to work hard. And the harder you work, the better it is. The harder you work at your Christian life, the more you're going to become like Christ. The less you work, the less you are going to grow. That's the way it is. So He says you must work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. Not only that, He says, then I want you to shine it out and to be an example in the world like a star shining on a dark night. But not only that, then He told us that we must hold out the word. We take this precious message of the Bible and bring it to our world. A world that is so lost at the moment and needs Jesus. Now, having done that, He closes off chapter 2 with three little pictures of great examples. And He's going to focus on Timothy, He's going to focus on Epaphroditus, and He's going to focus on the Apostle Paul himself. It's a very easy passage. And all I want to do with you this morning before we come to Holy Communion is just to show you how you and I today can be models. I was saying to the earlier service, when we lived in Cape Town a long time ago now, when we were first married, Mary and I, if there was a rugby test at Newlands, we would go to Newlands, I'm telling you, at 5:30 in the morning. 5:30. We took 5-liter paintings, because we would stand on those paintings and somebody stood in front of us. And we would wait. And she used to take us flasks of coffee and sandwiches and bar ones. And we used to wait and wait and wait for one thing. You guys will remember, for a man by the name of Mornay Duplessis. I'm telling you, it was incredible. This lanky, funny-looking guy would run onto Newlands with a rugby ball in his right hand, and Newlands erupted. That's what we wanted to see. I said, really, let's go home now. And she was telling me, no, I've been waiting here from 5:00. We're going to watch the game. I'd seen all of... He was an amazing model. And even now, when Jake and all of these other guys were getting ready for the World Cup, who did they call to the dressing room? Mornay Duplessis. Because he was a model in the rugby world. Now that's not what we are talking about this morning in one way, friends. I want to show you how to be a model. in your home, in your office, for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we want to be. So let's go through it together with me, if you will. What does Paul say to us about himself? How did he respond to all that Jesus had done for him on the cross? And he tells us, first of all, that he always gave his best. That was the first thing about Paul. Always, in everything he did as a Christian, because he was so conscious that the Lord Jesus Christ had died for him on the cross, he realized that he needed to give nothing less than his very best. So listen to what he says. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him. Aren't those lovely words? Alec Mateer, in his marvelous commentary of Philippians, says this: Timothy was in a class all by himself. So when Paul wanted to send the Philippian church the very best, he sent Timothy. I want to remind you, dear brothers and sisters, we are coming to communion, not out of habit, not because we must, but because as Christians we love to come and remember that Jesus' blood was shed for me on the cross. And how do I respond? I respond by saying to Jesus, Lord Jesus, I'm going to give you my best. Not what's left over. What's the best? The second thing you notice about the apostle was that he gave his warmest affection and ungrudging praise. Look at verse 22. You know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Paul poured out his love onto Timothy. There was an incredible generosity. He saw Timothy as a son. He gave him his warmest affection and his praise. What a lovely man that is who does the sort of thing as Paul was doing. What a model at home to be a dad like that to his wife and to his kids. What a mom. Where warm affection and ungrudging praise is shared onto others. And thirdly, he saw Christians as being the object of his personal concern. Paul was concerned for his fellow Christians. He loved them. He gave them his best, and he was concerned for them. When they were in need, Paul was there. When they needed encouragement, Paul was there. And you know what, my dear brothers and sisters, you and I can all do that. We don't need to go to Bible college for that. Someone's in hospital, we can be there. Someone's discouraged, we can pick up the phone. We can send an email. We can send an SMS. Just to let them know, I'm praying for you. I want you to know in the Lord Jesus Christ that I love you in every sense of the word. So Alec Mateer wraps that little section up by saying this: the Lord Jesus Christ is the Christian's model. But Paul was a model Christian. Wouldn't that be lovely if someone said that of you? Or perhaps of me? You're a model Christian. Let's have a look secondly at Timothy for a few moments. What do we notice about him? Some of the things have been shared already, but it's there for emphasis. And the first thing you notice about Timothy is that he also took a painstaking care of other Christians. See, if we go back to verse 20, I have no one else like him. He takes a genuine interest in your welfare. That was Timothy. I'm not talking about his preaching or his teaching or how much he gave financially. But what it is saying to me is this. There was this tremendous care, love, concern for him. A genuine product of a regenerate nature, says John Stott. Absolutely right. What's the second thing we notice about Timothy? Look at verse 21. Everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself. So Timothy was a man of amazing devotion to Jesus Christ. Paul says in the world in which they were living, everybody looked to his own interests. Very, very much like our world today. Everybody's just concerned with themselves, but not Timothy. He was passionate, absolutely passionate in his devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. To Timothy, it was the things of Christ that were his top priority. All that he lived for was Christ. All that he wanted was for Christ to be honored, for Christ to be spread, for Christ to be the very center of his life. A man of genuine concern and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the third thing we notice about Timothy? He was willing to accept God's plan in his life. You know, friends, during these years, all that Timothy did was follow Paul. That's all he did. Paul was the big man. Paul was the number one. Paul did the leading. Paul did the preaching. Paul was the boss. Timothy was his subordinate. Did he complain? Never. Did he ask for other things? Never. He was just absolutely, completely willing to accept the plan that God had for him at that particular stage in his life. Whatever Jesus wanted, that was good enough for Timothy. Where Jesus wanted him, that's where Timothy would be. What Christ wanted him to do, that's what Timothy would do. Absolutely willing to accept God's plan for his life. And the fourth thing we notice about Timothy was he was a slave to evangelism. Look at the next verse. You know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. You see, dear friends, that tells me everything. Here is the Apostle Paul commending Timothy, saying the one thing about this young man was his willingness, his passion is a better word, I suppose, to bring the gospel of what Christ had done on the cross for lost sinners. And I hope that for you, and please pray that for me, we'll never lose. We mustn't ever let that go. We should long every day to lead people to Christ. Got a lovely email during the week from our one son. And he was questioning us about a group called the Navigators. You all know the Navigators? He's linked up with some missionaries over there who work for the Navigators. And I said to him, yeah, I do know the Navigators. It was started by a man called Dawson Trotman. Billy Graham looked all over the world for a man to head up his follow-up programs to his crusades. And he looked all over, and then he found the man. His name was Dawson Trotman. They used to call him Dawes. I've got his biography. I haven't seen it around for many years, but if you can get it, sell your bed and buy it. But Dawson Trotman tells a lovely little story that illustrates this one day. He says he got into bed at the end of the day, and as you do and I do, I'm sure, we look back over the day, what we had done, where we had been, all the rest of the story. And he's lying in bed and he realizes that he has not shared the gospel with anybody on that particular day. So he took his pajamas off, gets dressed, goes into his car, up and down the streets of Los Angeles, looking for a person. I'm not too sure how many of us would do that. And eventually he came to a bus stop, and there was a lady at the bus stop. Now, it was open to all sorts of suggestions, but he stopped. And he said to that lady, would you like a lift? She's a bit dicey now. But he says, no, I'll take you right to where you want to go. So she got into the car, and Dawson Trotman shared the gospel with her. Told her how Jesus had died on the cross for her sin and invited her to become a Christian. She didn't surrender her life to Christ that particular evening, but Dawson Trotman got back home, put on his PJs and tucked back into bed with a peaceful mind. You know, you may think, yeah, that's going overboard, but doesn't it tell you a lot about Dawes? Doesn't it tell me that here was a man who lived like Timothy with a tremendous desire to lead people to Christ? And it is a concern to me that so often you chat to many Christians and you ask them, when did you last share the gospel with the lost? They haven't done it for months. Timothy was a model. Right, just lastly, the third man that we learn about is a man that you can name your next grandson after. I think it's a lovely name. His name is Epaphroditus. I'm not too sure what you'd call him for short. Right, what do we learn about this lovely man, Epaphroditus? How was Epaphroditus a tremendous model for you and I to follow? Well, the first thing you notice again is that he also had a deep concern for people. See verse 25? I think it necessary to send back to Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. He longs for all of you. He is distressed because you heard he was ill. You see that? What a man. What a great, great man Epaphroditus was. A tremendous heart for people. Secondly, notice, indeed, he was ill. He almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. And therefore I'm all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may be have less anxiety. Here it is. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy. Honor men like him. He almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life for the gospel. Isn't that lovely to read? Here is a model. Folks, there are very few models in our world today. You can look all across the board. Where's a model? Say, I want to be like that man or like that woman. Where are the models? There are very, very few. But here's a great model. Epaphroditus had a heart for people. He was incredibly zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, his consecration. He risked his life for the gospel. See, it's all he lived for. Let me wrap it up and then we're going to come to the table. I just want to ask two things, if I may, in closing. My friends, this morning, the first question we always ask is, do you know Jesus like this? Is Jesus your Lord like this? Risk your life for the gospel.
slave to evangelism. Unbelievable care for others. Giving of your best. Or maybe, has it just been part of your life? When you listen to these models, wouldn't it be a lovely thing when you're getting that bread and grape juice in just a moment and say, Lord, won't you make me like this? Won't you burn out of me all that is not of God? Make me a real Christian. And my second question, friend, if I may ask you today, is this. What model are you? When your kids speak of you, when those guys in the office speak of you, when your neighbors speak of you, what do they say? Are you a model of a Christian that's walking with Jesus? Let's pray. Oh, we long to be like Timothy and Epaphroditus and Paul. Oh, gracious God, forgive us for our worldliness, sometimes our apathy and lethargic attitudes, and make us by your Spirit godly models. Won't you be with us as we partake of Holy Communion, Lord? We come because we love you, and we are so, so grateful for what Jesus did for us on the cross. Amen.